Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And even though in our area and in Wendy's area, actually, both of us, we have gray skies, it's still a good day. In fact, we were talking about that before the podcast, Wendy. You like this kind of weather, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I'm staring out the window and it's just beautiful to me. I love rain, you know, and even when it's a gray sky, I get exhilarated by it.
Which is good. That means you're having a good day with the weather. That's ideal. That's mm-hmm. the best way to be. So that's good. And like you said before the podcast, April showers do bring May flowers, which my wife's gardening customers will be very happy about. Mm-hmm. So this is all good stuff here. This is good.
It is. And, you know, there is a possibility that energetically I may be tied to this kind of weather, because when my mother was in labor with me, she was on the seventh floor, I think, of a hospital, and they were having tornado warnings, and there was the possibility that everybody on her floor was going to be evacuated.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine being a pregnant woman, knowing that, like, you're in pain, and they're going to, like, take you on a gurney and bring you someplace because there's a tornado of all things?
Yeah, well, that wouldn't actually do a whole lot for your frame of mind, would it?
No. So fortunately, that didn't happen. However, I believe energetically, I was, you know, experiencing the weather. And of course, I believe I was excited about coming into the world. And so the fact that the weather was really gloomy and rainy and, you know, threatening all sorts of things, I will tell you, in my adult life, I have always been excited and exhilarated by this weather. And I think it has something to do with the timing that I was born.
So we have a new nickname for you. You are now the Hurricane Pollyanna.
Well, I do come from Chicago, and you could easily call me Windy Wendy.
Windy Wendy, that's right. From the Windy City, yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Okay, that works. Well, I have to say I've had a good day so far. I have been making a lot of progress on my contributions to the book. I've decided I am going to write 7 stories. I figured out which 7 stories I wanted to write, and I've got 5 of them done, only 2 more left. And when I'm done with those 2, we will have 55 stories for this book. This is going to be a good-sized book.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It is cool.
55 different ways to be inspired.
By manifestations, real life manifestations using the law of attraction. I mean, how much better could life get, you know?
Yeah, it's not speculative. It's like
no.
real experience.
Oh yeah, these are the real deal. This is not anything made up. This is stuff that actually happened. So, you know, people are going to be able to read these stories. This is going to be like a good coffee table book, you know, or something to put on your mm-hmm. smartphone, you know, for whenever you have a coffee table moment. And just, you know, you need something to give yourself a little bit of a boost. You read one of the stories from the book. That's what kind of book this is going to be. It's going to be good. It's going to be really good.
Oh, cool.
So anything good happening at your end? Any wins to talk about?
Yeah. I had a judgment or a negative viewpoint about somebody that I work with.
Hmm.
And the more I thought about this person, kind of the more grumbly I felt about them. And like, oh, I just wish they weren't in my business unit, or mm-hmm. they could go away or whatever. And today I had reason to speak with them, and it's like, it was a really pleasant conversation. And okay. I remembered, oh, there's some nice warm and fuzzies here, but I hadn't been focusing on them. I was only focusing on the grumbly stuff.
Yeah.
And so when we got off the phone, I went, oh, all is really well. I can deal with anybody. It's good. And my judgment has really subsided, because I had a great experience with him. But I will tell you, that didn't just come by happenstance, because I was very aware of my judgment of being in connection with him.
Uh-huh.
And so I really was asking the universe, you know, how can I shift this so that I can feel good about working with him? Because that's my desired result. And I'd say it took less than a day for that to manifest.
Wow. That's what I was going to point to. The fact that you were able to take a situation and turn it around your head pretty quickly, you know, basically mm-hmm. using some form of pivot. I'm not sure exactly what pivot you used. It doesn't really matter. But the point is, you pivoted and you actually turned a not so good experience into a great experience. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
That's something we need to pat ourselves on the back whenever we do that kind of thing, because it's certainly not easy to do. I mean, it gets easier over time, but the first few times we tried, it's not terribly easy to do, and you did it. So kudos to you.
And I think I could say that one of the things that allows things like that to happen faster in my life than it used to is because when I ask the universe, you know, how can I feel good about him? You know, what can I do to shift this? Because I don't want to feel ugly about him. I want to feel good about him.
Mm-hmm.
There was a true, sincere desire to feel good about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that was a very real, sincere thing. It wasn't like, oh, he's such a jerk. And, you know, gosh, I don't know how we can turn this around. I mean, I was in a state of curiosity and like, I'm sure it's possible and I'm really open to it.
Absolutely.
So I guess I wasn't, you know, energetically vibrating anything negative or any kind of resistance because it's something I really wanted. I don't want to be in discord with anybody.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, actually, that's something we can do with anyone. The trick is finding that silver lining. And you found one. You probably found more than one knowing you. You're good at it. But you found a silver lining. You found a different way of looking at this person. And you turned it, what could have been kind of a potentially a nasty situation even, into a happy, pleasant situation. Good for you. That's great. That's really great.
Yeah.
So we're both having good Tuesdays on this gray Tuesday afternoon. And all is well. Now, for those people who might be not quite as adept as Wendy is at turning things around on a dime, of course, as usual, the next part of the book that we're looking at, The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham, gives us an exercise that helps us to accomplish exactly that kind of thing. What a shocker. It happens every day, right?
Right.
No matter what we talk about, no matter what our wins are, it always ties into the book. I haven't figured out why, but it does. So anyway.
Because we co-create with each other.
Well, yeah, that's true.
We co-create with our listeners. We're just constantly in a state of co-creating.
That is it, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of easy to skip over that, but that really is it. We're co-creators. In fact, I was thinking about that word being a creator today. I was thinking of it in the context of people who don't easily believe that we're creators. They're willing to believe that God is the creator, but they aren't willing to believe that we ourselves are creators. And I'm thinking, you know, it really is actually quite empowering to be a creator. It doesn't mean that you've got an overblown ego. It just means you've learned that you have a creative power that you had all along, and you're learning how to use it. That's a good thing. That's a really cool thing. The fact that we're creators and that I'm learning how to be a creator, that's a cool thing. That's empowering. It's enlightening. It's just cool.
You know, when you're saying that, I'm thinking, huh, I think I've believed this way for so long. I honestly don't remember when I took this idea in and allowed it to, like, permeate who I am. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, after a while, it becomes so habitual, we don't even think about it. But
yeah.
We should think about it because, I mean, with the power of our minds, with the power of our intentions and attention, and by paying attention to our emotions and revving them up, we create stuff, even when we aren't intending to. And we're all creators. It's not like you and I have some special power that other listeners don't have. Everybody's got it. Everybody can do this. It's just that we go through life, most of us, doing it by default without even realizing what we're doing. And then we say, well, how did that happen? So anyway, the book, we're on the section that's entitled An Exercise to Assist in Deliberate Creation. And it says, here is an exercise that will assist you in your deliberate creation. Well, you know, shoot, I knew that from the subhead. So it says, take three separate pieces of paper, and at the top of each page, write one thing that you want. Now, take the first page, and beneath the subject of what you have written, write, these are the reasons that I want this. And write whatever comes to your mind, write whatever flows forth naturally. Do not try to force it. And when nothing more comes, you are complete for now. That's a strange way of saying things, but they do that a lot. Abraham says that, don't they? We are complete. Or we are not complete. It's a strange phrase. Anyway, continuing, it says, now turn your paper over and right at the top of the second side of the page, these are the reasons that I believe that I will have this. The first side of your page enhances what you want, which is the first side of the equation of deliberate creation. The second side of the page enhances your belief that you will have it, the second side of the equation of deliberate creation. And now that you have focused upon and activated within your vibration both sides of the equation, you are now in the state of receiving the manifestation of your desire, for you have successfully accomplished both sides of the creative process. All that is necessary now is that you want it and continue to expect it until you have it, and it will be yours. There is no limit to...
Before we go further,
yeah.
So let's see. I just kind of want to review or summarize the two sides of the equation.
Okay.
The first one is the reasons why we want it, and the second criteria is the reasons that I believe I will have it.
Right.
The reasons I want it and the reasons I believe that I will have it. Huh. I'm not even quite sure if I can think of a reason that I will have something. Like, I don't know, that just feels a little bit awkward. So, like, at least at some point, let's go back and take this apart and maybe do some examples.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we don't have to do them right now, but I just think that would be a good idea.
All right. Well, we've got one, two, three paragraphs left on this thing. So let's finish the three and then we can do that exercise.
Okay.
So continuing, it says, there is no limit to the number of things that you can simultaneously create, for it is not difficult to hold a desire and at the same time hold an expectation of achieving it. But in the beginning, while you are still learning to focus your thoughts, it may be helpful to deliberately concentrate upon only two or three desires at a time. For the longer the list of things you are working on, the greater the potential for doubt to creep in as you look at all the things that you have not yet accomplished. The more you play the game, the better you become at focusing your thoughts, and eventually, there will be no reason to limit your list in any way. Now, before you can experience something in your physical life experience, you must first give thought to it. Your thought is the invitation, and without it, it will not come. We are encouraging an intentional deciding of what is wanted, and then an intentional giving of thought to those things that you want while you are intentionally not giving thought to those things that you do not want. And in suggesting this, we encourage that you set some time aside every day when you sit and intentionally bring your thoughts together into a sort of vision of what you want to experience in your life. And we have been referring to this time as your workshop for deliberate creating. As you are moving through your daily experience, set forth the intention to notice things that you like. In italics, today, no matter what I'm doing and no matter whom I'm doing it with, it is my dominant intention to look for things that I like. And as you deliberately gather this data, you will have the available resources to effectively create when you go to your creative workshop. So, okay, that's what this exercise is for. It's for basically pulling the data together so that we can do our wanting and our believing. So get back to the question you raised, which is, I guess you're kind of expressing a little bit of a doubt there, aren't you?
Not a doubt. I was wanting to, like, actually practice this exercise during the show.
Oh, okay.
Instead of just reading it, like, let's just practice it because right now it feels really flat to me.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like something that I really even understand how I would get the results that I want, just because there's no emotion in it for me right now.
Okay. So I'm going to get out a piece of paper. We'll do it with one thing, right? Okay. So I'm going to get out my piece of paper here. There's my piece of paper. Ripped it out of my notebook. Okay. So first thing I have to do, let's go back to the exact exercise. It says, I want to write
the top page, write one thing you want.
One thing I want. So let's see.
Will you pick something that you're willing to talk about?
Sure. I don't know what yet. Let's see.
All right.
What shall we put there? Do you want to pick something? Because you're the one who's actually raising the question.
Okay. And then will you prompt me through the rest of the exercise? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
What's one thing I want? Okay, now one thing I do know is Abraham says, don't pick the biggest, baddest, hardest thing that you've had like 50 years worth of resistance on.
Probably not a good idea,
I'll
no.
I'll do my best to pick something smaller than that.
Okay.
Okay, I want to prune my bushes in the front of my house.
Okay, Wendy wants to prune her bushes. Mm-hmm. In front of her house. Okay, now I have to ask a rather obvious question. Why can't you just go prune your bushes?
Oh, because there's always some reason that comes up that, you know, either it's too cold or it's too rainy or it's too damp or it's too dark because it's nighttime or I don't have the time, or on the weekend when I do have the time, that's when it's raining. So it always feels like there's something that comes up that prohibits me from doing it. I know once I do it, I'll enjoy it because I love pruning bushes, but there's always a reason why I don't, quote, just go do it.
So you're basically asking the universe to clear your schedule.
Maybe. No, not really. Because sometimes my schedule is clear and I just don't want to do it.
Ah.
Or the weather conditions are not appropriate for me. Because, like, I won't do things outside when it's humid. I will do things when it's cold. I have no problem with cold.
Okay.
But I don't want to be out there when it's just been really rainy because then I get all muddy.
Ah, okay. So there are certain conditions.
Like I said, we're like in the rainy season right now.
Mm-hmm. So the conditions have to be right. Everything has to be just right. You have to feel good. You have to have the time available. The weather has to be good. It all has to come together in just the right way. And then you'll feel good about going out and pruning your bushes.
I don't know all that. That's not part of the exercise the way I read it. I just want to follow the exercise.
Well, the exercise starts off by saying at the top of the page what you want. I was trying to clarify what it was that you want. That's all I was trying to do.
Exactly what I want is what I said. I want to prune my bushes.
Okay. Well, we'll run with that. So the next thing that we do is we write that at the top of the page, and on the front we say, these are the reasons why I want to do this, or that I want to do this. So okay. I'm going to write that.
The reasons I want to do it is, one, because I love being outside. I love being in nature. Pruning my bushes is artistic for me. That feels really good and creative because I don't use a giant pruner. I use a little hand clipper. And so I clip each individual branch. And I love that process of like just clearing the deck, clearing, you know, rounding the edges. And so it's very artistic for me. And I really, really enjoy it.
Okay.
I love feeling connected to my landscaping because it allows me to feel connected to my house.
Okay.
And the place that I'm in. And, you know, I love being a part of beautifying my home because I also think it makes me a good neighbor, you know, because I have a lovely looking frontage to the
okay.
house.
Okay. Okay. I'm furiously scribbling here.
Well, I don't know that you have to put it all down. No, we're not going to turn this in.
Well, it's the exercise. You're supposed to write it on the paper, so I'm writing it on the paper, right?
Well, and I'll be honest with you. I prefer not to do exercises where you have to write.
Well, that's why I'm doing
but
it for you.
Like it. Yeah, but I do like that when someone prompts me, and then I can do it.
Okay, all right.
It's so, probably from all the days of being in goal-setting classes and Tony Robbins exercises and whatever. It's like, oh my God, if I have to like have another exercise I write down, I'm going to scream.
So. Okay. So on the page where we're on the side of the page where we're writing down the reasons why you want this, the four reasons I've got so far is that number one, you love being outside. Number two, you love being artistic and creative with it. Number three, you love the feeling of being in communication with your landscaping. And number four, you love beautifying your home. Is there anything we're missing?
No, I think that covers it. That feels nice.
Okay. And then on the second side of the page, the back side, we're supposed to write, these are the reasons that I believe I will have this. So I'm writing that down. These are...
And that's the question that was a little reasons. Trickier for me.
Okay.
The reasons I believe I will have it.
I believe I will have it. Okay, so what makes that tricky for you?
I guess the word belief, you know, like to believe that it, I don't know. I mean, but I will tell you the first answer that comes to mind is, every other time I've ever trimmed my bushes, a spontaneous moment always came to me.
Okay.
It's like when I focus on something, like if I focus on, gosh, every time I go out to the mailbox, I look at my bushes and go, wow, they really need to be trimmed. If I keep staring at them and if I keep focusing on them, it's kind of like a desire will just kind of like start to build within me. And then one day I'll be out there getting my mail and I'll go, you know what? I'm just going to go get the little trimmers. I'm just going to trim this one little thing. And before I know it, I've done all my bushes.
Okay.
So how do I believe that this will, I will have this, or in this case that this will happen?
Well, it's not so much how. The question is, these are the reasons that I believe I will have it. Not how it's going to happen, but that simply I believe it.
Yeah, and that's the part that feels a little tricky. Like, could you put yourself in my shoes and make up a reason?
Yeah, I mean, I can try to invent a reason that would fit me. I don't know if it'll fit you. The thing that captures my attention about it is, this is all about the believing part. And believing is really just, like we say before, it's a thought that we think over and over again. Well, this is a thought we haven't thought over and over again yet, that we're basically broaching it for the first time. So that's why it feels a little bit awkward. But I think once we've gone through the exercise a few times and basically reinforced for ourselves so that the belief turns into, you know, a belief, it's going to be a lot easier to say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Well, so, that's what makes it tricky, because I understand that same definition. So mm-hmm. if a belief is something you keep thinking, but I haven't thought about this one over and over. I mean, I have, but like not with intensity. It's kind of like mm-hmm. I started thinking about it last fall.
Oh. Okay.
And then every now and then I go, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that when it's spring. But it's not like I think about it 24/7 like I do Project X.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I can understand that. You know, what's coming to my mind is what Tom Wells and I have been doing, the last two shows that he and I have done together. We're just spontaneously making up stories about stuff that we'd like to attract into our lives. And we're just like we're just, you know, channeling it in a sense. We're just spewing out whatever comes from inside, not thinking about it, not in any way trying to write it in advance or anything like that. Just whatever comes out, comes out. And we've had some cool stuff that came out that way. Now, I can try doing that, and I don't know if it's going to fit what you have in mind, because, I mean, these are your bushes after all. But maybe it'll spur something in your mind. Maybe you can come up with a similar kind of, you know, spur the moment, let it flow thing. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. I want my bushes trimmed. I want to trim my bushes. And I'm going to start by rereading what you said your reasons why you want this. You said you love being outside, that you like being artistic and creative with it. You love the feeling of being in communication with your landscaping, and you love beautifying your house. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make up a little story, and I'm going to pretend that
okay,
I'm you.
And our focus is to do the second part, which is to write down the reasons mm-hmm. that I believe I will have this.
Well, I'm not going to try to write this as I'm saying it, because I haven't learned how to do both yet. I can do one, I can do the other. I can't do them simultaneously yet, so I'll have to say it first.
Okay. You know what? Before you go there, I think we were focusing on the belief. I think the focus is on the reasons. We're supposed to write down the reasons I believe I will have this.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's an easy thing then.
Oh, okay, well, then go for it.
The reasons are because... I plan to think about this more often.
Okay.
The reason is because I love to do this. The reasons are because I want to get it done while the weather is very cool before it gets too hot. Another reason is because I'll just decide that I'm going to make this a priority because I really want to do it.
Okay. This is good.
Now, what's interesting is by switching to what the reason is, that was easier than the belief, because the reason I believe it's going to happen is because here are my reasons. I want to do it. I want to do it. I'll focus on it. Here's another reason. I'll trust that the universe will provide me a spontaneous impulse on the day that the weather is just perfect and I have the time and I have the inclination.
I'm scribbling. by the way, I don't have all these. I didn't get the third one. I missed the third one, but I'm writing the fifth one.
Well, that's okay. Well, and the reason I wanted to do this is because, like I said, when you read the exercise, it just felt really flat. And I thought, you know, if it feels flat to me and I live and breathe Abraham Hicks' Law of Attraction, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one. And so I wanted to kind of put legs to it. I wanted to make it a little more three-dimensional.
That makes sense. Makes sense. And then what this said was, what the subsection said was, when you've written all this, you've basically put out the vibration. Isn't that what it says here? So let's see. First side contains that, second side. Now you have focused upon and activated within your vibration both sides of the equation. You are now in the state of receiving the manifestation of your desire. For you have successfully accomplished both sides of the creative process.
I feel that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will say, it felt a little good. In comparison, when we did the first side, when I said the reasons I wanted it, but not the reasons, when I said what I wanted.
Right.
I mean, that felt nice. But when I went into the reasons that I believe I'm going to have this, I actually had to step up my energy a little bit more. And I put some, I really want this in it. And I'm like, so, and I was thinking in my head, so what am I willing to do or be, you know, or think? And it's like, I'm willing to make a commitment that I'm going to do this, but I don't have to run out as soon as the show's over, run out and do it. Because what I said was, well, I really believe, just like everything else in my life works, the universe will give me a spontaneous moment when all the appropriate things are in line, that the weather is good, I have the time, I'm dressed right, you know, and that I just feel like doing it.
Yeah, that was your fifth reason. Sure.
Yeah, it'll be the inner impulse to do it. It'll be, yeah, because when I have the inner impulse to do it, the energy is always there to do it. And that was kind of a reminding myself of how I set any intention in motion.
This is a good exercise that we did the way we did it, because it's not your normal, by normal, I mean typical thing that somebody wants to attract into their lives. Normally, they want to attract a new job or a new car or a new spouse or a new house or something like that. You wanted to just make sure you got the bushes trimmed. And that's not something we're used to thinking about that way. We're not thinking about something, that's something I want to attract. But that is precisely what you're doing. You're attracting it. You're attracting the perfect opportunity to do it at the time when you're going to feel best about doing it. I think that's brilliant that you're doing that.
Yeah, I just thought of another one.
What's that?
I really want to take my car to the car wash and get my beautiful chrome wheels cleaned.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I've been watching them get dirtier and dirtier all winter. And I have beautiful chrome wheels. It took me probably a year to scope the perfect wheels for this car. And when I did, this is when I was married, and people would say to my husband, wow, those are great looking wheels. And he would say, my wife picked those out because that's her car.
Uh-huh.
And it made me feel so good because he really liked my taste. And he has great taste in cars. So the fact that we looked at gazillions of different wheels and he agreed with me that, like, he loved the wheels that I picked. It's like, yeah, but when they get dirty, they just don't shine and, you know, like, show themselves off and make my car look so beautiful. So, you know, I could see that another something I want is I want to get to the car wash. Every time I think to go to the car wash and I'm driving down the street where the car wash is, it's raining and the car wash is closed.
Now, a cynic might raise an objection here saying, you're not actually attracting anything. You're just trying to figure out when you want to go wash the car. That's a mundane thing to do. It doesn't require any special law of attraction for that.
Oh, everything in my life is law of attraction. If I know I have a long grocery list that I have on under a magnet on my refrigerator, you know, I keep writing things down. It's like, I want to go to the grocery store. But you know what? I don't like to go to the grocery store. So because it is not my favorite thing to do, and going to the car wash is not my favorite thing to do either. I hate sitting in the little waiting room. It drives me crazy. So it doesn't really. But anyway, it's not my favorite thing to do. And so it kind of takes a little extra oomph in me to like feel the onus to actually want to do it. Same thing with grocery shopping. I can literally go 2 weeks without going to the store because I don't want to. But then I look at the list and go, it's getting kind of long and the cupboards are getting kind of bare. And then I start focusing on, I really want to go to the grocery store, even though I know I'm in the moment not wanting to go. And then all of a sudden, it's like out of the blue, and this is what happens in my world, out of the blue, I'll go, oh my gosh, my workload is really light. I'm going to get off at a decent hour. I think I'm going to go to the grocery store. And then I do, and it's a really fun experience. So I live for the timing. It's like I get impulses to do things. And yes, there are things that I have already set my intention on and my desire on that I want. I just haven't really done it with the car wash. I think about it every now and then, but I haven't really gone, I really want to get my car washed like I just did now. That's a different, the different energy behind it. Because now I'm like, I'm determined. I'm going to get it done. It's now on my mental list of things to do. I want to get my car washed.
Is it fair to say that what you were really attracting was the desire and the timing to go get it done?
You mean like right now?
Well, I don't mean immediately, but I mean in general, what you were trying to do was to attract both a time and a desire simultaneously to happen at the same point in time, whatever that point of time is.
Okay, I'm not quite sure I know how to answer it that way.
Okay.
I will say every time I look at my dirty wheels, I know what I don't want.
Okay.
So in the moment I know what I don't want, there's a rocket of desire that is simultaneously shot off and my inner being is holding on to my beautiful shiny wheels.
Mm-hmm.
But I had not pivoted my attention toward having my car washed. I only noticed what I didn't want. I didn't want my tires to be or my wheels to be dirty anymore. So I had not pivoted. So I was not consciously aware that what I really wanted was to go wash my car. I was consciously aware of what I did not want, which was a dirty car.
So basically you turned a negative expression into a positive expression to make it more real, make it happen quicker. I'm not quite sure what.
I pivoted my attention from focusing on what I did not want to right now, today, on this show, as we've been doing this exercise, I just pivoted my attention to what I do want. And now I'm focusing on what I do want. So that is now my point of attraction. Where before, I was focused on a dirty car. And so my point of attraction was getting more of a dirty car.
So the point being that we, if we use this as a sort of a metaphor, we have a tendency as human beings to focus on the dirty car and not take any time to focus on, wouldn't it be like nice to have a clean car?
Yeah. Literally, it was totally a by default thing. Totally by default. And every time I'd drive by the car wash and it was raining, I'd go, oh yeah, I'd really love to like clean up those wheels because they sure do look yucky.
Mm-hmm.
So since last fall, I really haven't been focused nearly as much on wanting my car clean as much as I've been focusing on what I don't like. Like when I open the door, I have black carpeting, and because of my scenario of where I park right now, I walk through the grass. And so when I get into my car, my shoes have little grass clippings on them. So I have like grass, you know, on the black carpeting. And I see that every time I get into my car and I'm like, oh, what a messy carpet. It would be nice to get that vacuumed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going, ooh, I want to go get it vacuumed. I'm like, oh my God, my the carpeting is just all dirty. Yeah.
Completely different.
That's
what feel.
I'm focusing on.
Yeah. Completely different feeling there for sure.
Yeah.
By the way, is this the Jag that you wrote about in one of your stories?
Yes.
It is. Okay. So, well, now I can understand why chrome wheels would make such a difference. I mean, you want a Jag is a car you want to have really beautiful wheels on.
I mean, the car came with alloy wheels and they were nice, but I'm like, the car is so beautiful that to me, the wheels just kind of took it down a notch. So I spent about a year looking for what I considered were the perfect wheels that would beautify my car in a way that would take my smile that was already pretty darn big and make it huge.
And well, I can understand that.
And then when they complimented my wheels, I'd feel even better.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they look at my personalized license plates that say, I am happy, and people comment, it makes it even better. So my car, I've created my car into being this thing that brings me such joy and happiness, both from the car itself as well as people's comments on the car, that when the car is not looking pristine, it's kind of like, oh, nobody's complimented my car in a while because it's kind of dusty and dirty and the wheels aren't shiny.
Okay. So another piece of motivation comes out. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. By the way, I'm not going to say anything about the story except to say, this is one of the reasons why you want to get the book, because the story that Wendy tells about how she acquired this car is another one of those, it will blow your mind stories. So just giving you that little bit of a tease, especially when, well, I won't, no, I can't even tell you that part. Just the part just before she gets it. And when she gets it, you're going to say, huh? How did she do that?
And my favorite part, and this won't give it away either, but my favorite part when other people thought I couldn't have what I wanted, I go, watch me.
Watch me. Yeah, that was your line that you used.
Watch me. Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many times during the search for my new car, you know, people, you're not going to get what you want. You know, it's just not possible. I go, watch me. Kind of like a smug little 8-year-old, you know, going, you want to bet? I can do it. And that's the attitude I had inside, but I wasn't being ugly on the outside. But it's like, oh, watch me. Watch me, people. I'm going to do this. Trust me.
And everybody but one person thought you were crazy. That one person was you. And you were right. Yeah. You weren't crazy. You got it done. You have the Jag. You have the proof.
Right now I have a dusty, dirty Jaguar. And now that I say it after the hype that you did for my story, let me tell you, I'm more motivated than ever to go, okay, universe, I'm ready to have you line up the energy for me to have the perfect time when the car washes are open, when they're not really busy, so they'll pay extra special attention because I always give them extra money to, like, really shine my wheels, you know. But you can't do it on a Saturday afternoon when they're packed. You have
right.
to do it when they've got the time, so. To me, the universe will arrange a time when all of a sudden I'll go, now's the time. Time to go to the car wash because I'm ready. I want my car to look pretty again.
So do you have one of those places that will actually do detailing for you?
I do, but I don't take it there.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay.
No, I'm kind of a neat freak anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So my car is always neat. Like if you opened my trunk right now, there's nothing in there.
Ah.
And it's not dirty. I mean, there's nothing in there.
Okay. So detailing isn't really necessary at that point.
Not really. Actually, when I'm sitting at a stoplight, I take Kleenex and dip it into my drink, which is usually water, and I clean my dashboard and my stuff and everything.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Hey, you know, what else do you do at a stop sign? Right?
I don't know. Normally, I check to see if there's cars either direction. That's my thing to do.
Well, you know, at a stoplight, it's like, well, I got about 2 minutes until the light turns green. So what can I do? Look at that dust on my dashboard. I think I'll take care of that.
I have to tell you, that's the last thing I would think about when I'm sitting in a traffic light. That's just funny from my perspective.
Well, that's okay. I can be a little bit funny. I've been called weird. I own it. It's cool with me.
Hey, if it works for you.
I have friends like, I'll say, oh, I'll drive. And, like, they'll get in my car and go, wow, do you always keep your car like this? I'm like, yeah, don't you? Oh, my gosh, though. When I get in the car with someone else, they'll be like, hang on a second. There's no room in the back seat. Let me move everything off of the front seat so there's a place for you to sit. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, it's my office. It's my roving office. And I'm thinking, well, I used to office in my car. And when I got done at the end of the day, I emptied everything. The car looks beautiful again. That's just me. I'm a neat freak. I'm very organized.
All I can say is I'm glad that we do this show from two different states, because if we were in the same studio, you'd probably be all over me for how I keep my desk next to my mic.
Oh my gosh. Because piles of papers and stuff and books and things everywhere.
No, not piles of stuff everywhere. No, but I can't say that everything is perfectly placed and that everything has its own special location. It's a little bit disheveled compared to that.
Now, I do like everything at right angles. And I have the note, like I have a big desk, and of course, you know, I have a couple monitors and other stuff. So there's only so much space that's like what you would call writing desktop space. I could probably put like 4 legal pads of paper across the space of my desktop. And I have piles because it's, you know, the one on the left is my work pile and the one on the right is my personal pile. The ones in the middle is what I'm working on right now. And if I have to like leave for the day, I will probably clean up the pile so that they're all at right angles. That makes me happy.
Hey, you know, if it works, if it floats your boat, that's all that counts, really. When it comes down to it, that's all that matters. Louise and I were talking about this yesterday. We're boiling down. We're working on one of the other Abraham books, The Astonishing Power of Deliberate Creation. And we reached a stopping point. We're talking and we realized, you know, when you look at what life's all about enjoying life. That's really the primary purpose we're here. Abraham says that, right?
Agreed. Totally agreed.
Life is about enjoying life. So, you know, if enjoying life means keeping your car in pristine condition, then keep your car in pristine condition because it makes you happy. That's why you do it, you know?
I love beautiful things. Beautiful things make me happy. They make me smile. They make me feel good. And I think that's why I'm the organized neat freak that I am, because I can take any kind of disheveled room, space, closet, drawers, shelves, and I can beautify them. And even though, like if you were to open my, I have one of my offices, you know, it's basically a bedroom. And so it has, you know, this closet where you open 2 doors where the doors close in the center and you can open them up wide. And it's this kind of long, flat space. And I have shelves in there, and it pretty much looks like an Office Max behind these 2 doors. It's my office supply closet.
I can tell.
It's highly organized. Mm-hmm.
Does it have price tags? Yeah. No, never mind.
Not really. You know, it's actually one of the things that when people want to see my house, I actually open up my closet doors because it's part of the showcase, and they're like, oh my goodness.
See, now Louise's comment would be, no one lives here. There's no sign of life here. It's all so neat and orderly. Nobody could possibly live in a space like this.
And yet I do.
It's like what Neil Donald Walsh said when he appeared in the movie The Secret. Neil Donald Walsh, of course, is the author of the Conversation with God series of books. I guess he did about 7 of those. And what he says in the movie is, you know, if having a salami sandwich makes you happy, then have a salami sandwich. If petting your cat makes you happy, then pet your cat. Do whatever makes you feel happy, because that's your purpose here in this world, to enjoy yourself, to have a good time, to be a joyous creator. That's it. That's what we're here for.
Well, you know, with Project B, which is Project Body, I've just been noticing things. And, you know, yesterday I said what had come to me a couple of days before was I can eat anything I want so long as I truly want it, which I have to say really lines up beautifully with a bunch of stuff that I've heard Abraham talk about. Because, like, there was this one, it was during one of their cruises, and this gal was in the hot seat. And she was talking about how she has a very regimented eating, which was really funny to listen to her, because she talked about all these rules about you can eat this and you can't eat that. And I do eat this and I don't eat that, you know, almost as if she was bragging on what a clean diet she had. But then she said, and this to me was hysterical, she's like, but, you know, here we are on this cruise and there's food everywhere. And sometimes I have a hard time with just picking the foods that I know are good for me, because there's so many things available that are really on my list of things that, you know, I know my body doesn't want. And when I heard that, I went, how do you know your body doesn't want it? And I think it was more what she had decided that her body should want. So Abraham's response was just, it just was so delightful to me. Because Abraham talked about the incredible, exquisite chefs that they think of food as their art. And that they spend hours performing their art to share it with the passengers on the ship. And, you know, when you hear it said like that, you can't go, oh, sorry, can't eat that because it's not on my food program. I mean, Abraham is talking about they are artists.
Yeah.
And they're preparing their art for the people on the ship. So, you know, Abraham was saying, look, really the only reason that anybody, you know, has an issue with food is because you've judged the heck out of it all instead of aligning yourself to the meal, allowing yourself to select what is in alignment with who you are. Now, when you hear that, there are no food rules in there. There's no high carb, low carb, heavy fat, low fat. There's none of those rules in there. And they were talking about Esther, and they said Esther fully appreciates the food on these ships. And I went, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to eat a meal where it just tastes good and there's no guilt. Regardless what it is, it could be anything from a salad that I might consider healthy food, you know, to something like, I don't know, just some huge decadent, like red velvet cake. If my body wants it and I'm aligned to that feeling and I truly enjoy it, then there's no guilt, you know, and I'm recognizing today, you know, guilt is what creates the stress, which creates the disconnect within the body. So right now, what I'm thinking about is what I had about an hour before the show was a grilled cheese sandwich. Now, grilled cheese used to be like, oh, you can't do that. There's too much butter in it. It's fat, it's fried, cheese, it's dairy. You know, all these things are bad, wrong, blah, 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 blah. Bread, oh my God, gluten. How could you do that? The only thing that made it acceptable is I actually put some chicken in between the slices. So it was like a cheese grilled something sandwich. But I got to tell you, as I'm sitting here now, I am still enjoying what it felt like to eat that sandwich.
I feel
it in my stomach, not in a way like I'm stuffed, but it's like I feel it digesting in my stomach and it feels so good. And I'm remembering the flavors and the buttery crispiness of the part that gets grilled. And oh my God, and the cheese was so beautifully melted and it just tasted so good. And I just know as I'm talking about this, that grilled cheese sandwich is being digested and appreciated and enjoyed by all the cells of my body because I'm in such a state of alignment of pure joy. I have zero guilt about eating a grilled cheese sandwich. Yet 2 years ago, I would have felt incredible guilt. And worse, I wouldn't have eaten it. And then I would have been angry or at least felt not uncomfortable. What's the word? I know there's a word here. I would have been ticked off. Let's just call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever I did choose to eat wasn't the grilled cheese sandwich, which is what I really wanted.
So basically, then, you were in trouble no matter what you did.
Pretty much. And I lived that way, Walt, for years. Years. It's like, no wonder, even when I ate, you know, an appropriate, you know, according to scientific dietitians, whatever, an appropriate size meal, ate the right amount of calories, had the right amount of, you know, healthy foods, organic, you know, vegetables, and, you know, just a little bit of lemon juice and olive oil. I mean, I know all the rules, but there was still something wrong with that too, because then if I read a different book that talked about how I shouldn't have the oil, I screwed that up. I mean, there is somebody who can come up with a reason why every food on the planet is bad. I've heard good things about fruit, bad things about fruit. Only certain fruits are okay. They have to be within a certain level on the glycemic index. Some people say meat is okay. Some people say, oh, don't eat meat. That's bad. Some say bread is just fine. Oh, no, but it needs to be sprouted wheat. But don't have anything with gluten. But you can have other kinds of flour. Others say no flour whatsoever because that's just like having cocaine. Won't go down that road, but anyway, I've heard it. So it's like,
well,
there's
what are they doing on their Saturdays? That's what I want to know.
Anything that has been refined like powder has the same type of reaction in your body as cocaine because it's addictive. Okay, there, I just said it in a nutshell. I'm not spewing that as truth. I'm just saying it's the many things that I've heard. But what it's done is it has left me completely prior to learning I can eat anything I want so long as my body truly wants it. It left me rendered helpless when it came time to meals because there was nothing that was on an acceptable list of food.
Yikes.
I had a judgment about every food that there was.
That is the classic no-win scenario.
Classic. Well said.
Yeah, that's what that is.
And that's the hell that I've lived in for decades.
Ugh.
And I mean hell, because it just feels constantly like I was in a prison. There was never a winning situation. And so when my inner being said to me, you can eat anything you want, it's no surprise I went, really?
Yeah, right.
Could that be? And then I got the emphasis on the word want. If your body wants it, that what I was learning was, you will be in such a state of alignment, you can eat anything you want when you are in alignment, when you are in a receiving mode, when you are in a high-flying vibrational state of being. Basically, you can't screw that up. It's only the negative vibrational things that you're broadcasting, like guilt and shame and judgment. You know, when you're in that state, you know, yeah, not much good's going to come from it. Even if I eat the perfect salad, if I'm feeling ugly for whatever reason, if I'm feeling bad, shame, you know, et cetera, guilt, stress, that food's not going to go down well.
Well, that word stress is the word that's been going through my mind while you've been going on this little rampage about what you've been dealing with over the years. I mean, one of the most primary things that physicians like to talk about is stress is a major contributor to weight gain. Well, you've had it, lots of it. In fact, you were in a no-win scenario. All you could get was stress from that. There are no other alternatives. You're going to stress out. That's it. Game over. Shoot.
And the more I wanted to learn, and the more I wanted to just get what's the right program for me, I was actually adding more judgment.
Oh, of course.
Actually adding more food rules. All of that was more stressful. And that's why the other day, I just kind of threw my hands in the air, just kind of talking to the universe going, what can I eat?
Yeah.
What would be appropriate for me? I need to follow some kind of guideline. Because for me right now, I don't have what, like a baby coming into the world, all they know is I'm hungry, I'm not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not thinking in terms of, you know, high carb, low carb, what's the glycemic index? They're not there.
No, not really, no.
So for right now, I don't have what I would call like the pure innocence of new thinking about food. I'm coming from a very warped perception of food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not judging it right now, but I mean, I know I come from a very warped position where, you know, like we said, there's no win situation.
Right.
And so I was asking, how do I begin to make a shift?
Mm-hmm.
Because I truly have my biggest desire in this whole food thing. And I know because if I can desire it, then the universe can deliver.
Mm-hmm.
What I really want is to just not even be affected by any judgment. I just choose to eat because it's what I want. Now, here's what's interesting. That's exactly what my inner being told me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I didn't even recognize till right now. That's exactly what I've been asking for.
Oh, you made the connection.
I would really like to be able to eat whatever I really want or choose.
Mm-hmm.
Without there being any judgments, there's another word, shackles, without any kind of ball and chain attached to it, you know, or any kind of negative consequence. Well, you know, if you need that piece of paper, you're going to have to be on the treadmill.
Yeah, you don't need that one, right? Yeah, you don't need that at all.
I just want to eat because eating is the right thing to do because my body needs nourishment.
Right.
And simultaneously, I also know that eating is a huge part of celebration and has been a part of celebration for as many years as there have been humans on the planet. People have celebrated with food.
Oh, of course, right.
And I remember so distinctly when a friend of mine was going to get a gastric bypass years ago, and she just said, "You should do one too." You know, it's like going to the beauty shop. I'm going to go blonde.
Right.
You should be blonde. But
yeah.
Gastric bypass is kind of a big, serious thing.
Oh, yeah.
And fortunately, at the time, I was self-employed, and I did not have the kind of insurance that was going to afford that.
Uh-huh.
So I said, no. But that's what I said on the surface to kind of get her off my case. But internally, I knew my reason for saying no was twofold. One, I just don't want to go through surgery because I knew that somehow there was a way I was going to change how me and food live based on my thinking. I've always known that it had to do with thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Long before I knew law of attraction, I knew I could think my way thin. I mm-hmm. knew that was a possibility.
Okay.
And the second reason is because part of, you know, she explained to me what happens when you have a bypass, and it's like your stomach, it becomes like, I don't know, 25% or one third of its original size,
right?
Which means you can never eat beyond a certain very small amount without your body getting violently ill. And I remember thinking, I like the taste of food too much to not be able to just really enjoy either a good steak or a plate of nachos or, you know, a birthday cake if I want to. And because I knew those were things that she knew she would have to give up, where if she had it, she might be able to have one forkful of birthday cake. That's it. And I'm like, oh, no, I want more than that. I really do. And I'm not saying because I'm a glutton. I'm just saying food is really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Walt? Even my expression of that right now is a huge breakthrough that I'm saying it this way, because I used to feel embarrassed to tell anybody that I actually enjoyed the taste of food, because they'd look at the size of my body and go, yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about
more,
that anymore.
More reinforcement. That reinforcement's gone.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking about my grilled cheese sandwich today, and that's probably not on anybody's delectable list. You know, normally it's pizza and desserts, but it's like, I had this really good grilled cheese sandwich today, and it felt so yummy going down.
Oh, yeah.
And here it is 3 hours later, and I'm still enjoying it as I think about it.
That's good. That's healthy.
And that's what I wanted to experience when it comes to food. And I have to tell you, I'm sitting here in my comfy chair, you know, when I do the show, and I don't feel stuffed. I don't feel fat. I actually feel kind of on the nimble side. I feel like I'm on the side of, like, when anyone who's been overweight knows what it's like to be, quote, dieting when you're starting to feel smaller because you actually are dropping weight. That's how I feel right now.
Hmm. That's good.
And it's hysterical that I feel that way after eating a grilled cheese sandwich that used to have so much judgment and stress and blah, blah, blah attached to it.
Well, I just want to say formally goodbye to the blah, blah, blah. We're so glad to see you go. The only thing that we're not happy about is that the show is about over because we only have less than a minute left. So I'll just have to reserve more commentary for tomorrow. In the meantime, say, Wendy, it's been a pleasure. Let's do it again tomorrow. I mean, it's okay with you, is.
And if absolutely. And it was good to walk through this exercise with you today. This was really fun.
Good. Okay. Well, I can't wait to find out what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow. In the meantime, we hope that you enjoy. I couldn't help that. Sorry. In the meantime, we hope that you'll join us next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye for now.